I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Ah, very good Friday evening to you all. Nice to have you aboard with us on Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan for a little short version of overtime. Why don't we? They said, yeah, we need somebody between Dukes and the Caps and the Canes. And I said, I'm your guy. It is the Rooster, Chris Russell, with you on this rainy Friday night in the nation's capital and beyond. Good to be with you. Again, short show just up until 7:15 tonight, so we got to get right into things at 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. I'm not just going to stick to one thing. I'm going to throw a bunch of different things out to you and see what kind of sticks for you guys, because I don't think anything – any one particular story or issue or topic is dominant more than the other, quite honestly. So I'll start with this. The Redskins, of course, as we know, are heading down to Jacksonville tomorrow afternoon. They will be without Jordan Reed. They will be without Ryan Anderson. They will be without Tony Bergstrom. Now, on top of everything else that they've had to deal with, Nick Sundberg is questionable with a lower back injury. Jay Gruden said they were going to work out a couple of long snappers, or at least one, I should say, today, which generally means at this point they are, you know, more than concerned, clearly, and probably, being that it has been a repetitive thing, according to Jay Gruden, it will probably lead to them having to sign a long snapper. And for everybody that is obviously very upset, and I've received a bunch of these tweets about Colt McCoy being left on the 53-man roster in case this team goes on some sort of magic carpet ride run, which we cannot rule out just simply because that's this team's MO usually, 2005, 2007, 2012, 2015. I mean, every time, the only times, they make the playoffs, they go on one of these unthinkable-type magic carpet rides. Not that a three-game winning streak would be that, but I can't rule it out until I know at about 4 o'clock-ish, maybe before, who knows, on Sunday afternoon, that the Redskins are losing this game. Because, again, at 6-7, they are still very much, as ridiculous as this is, they are still very much in the playoff chase, as everyone knows, because nobody wants that position. The Vikings don't want it. They stink. The Panthers don't want it. They suck. The Packers, they suck more than the Redskins, Packers, and Vikings. And they all might cancel each other out this week, quite honestly. Right? Carolina's got the Saints on Monday Night Football at home. Green Bay and Chicago at Soldier Field in Chicago. If the Redskins can somehow win this game, for God's sakes, they're looking pretty good, right? Looking pretty good. I forget who Minnesota is playing. I got to double check that. I looked at it last night, and I can't remember right off the top of my head, but we all know that's a circus up there after getting shut out on Monday Night Football. Very tough defense, very tough environment to go up against, and then having a short week and firing the offensive coordinator and so on and so forth for Kirk Cousins and the Minnesota Vikings. But the Redskins, as I mentioned, have kept Colt McCoy on the 53-man roster. And a lot of people are upset because now they've lost a developmental wide receiver named Simi Cobbs. You may be familiar with him from the preseason and training camp. 6'3", 210, 215, somewhere right around there. Developmental prospect who's been on the practice squad all year. He was claimed by the New Orleans Saints, promoted to their 53. You know what kind of injuries the Saints have had. They tried Dez Bryant. They tried Brandon Marshall. And clearly they were in the wide receiver market, and they chose this guy to be a red zone type threat which is clearly what they were looking for when they signed Dez Bryant, when they brought in Brandon Marshall and they let him go just earlier this week. They're clearly looking for somebody that can help out in that area, as if they need more help, right? But Simi Cobbs, and this is not going to sit well, I guess, or it's certainly not a favorable view for the organization. Simi Cobbs only gets offered, according to our own Craig Hoffman, unless I misinterpreted his tweet and I read it about 10 different times, Simi Cobbs only gets offered a 53-man spot with the Redskins after they find out, hey, the Saints are trying to claim me. The Saints are ready to take me. And then the Redskins step up instead of what they probably should have done earlier in the week, knowing that Doxson was in concussion protocol, knowing that they weren't going to have Jordan Reed, knowing that you can't count on Michael Floyd to do anything, noting that Jehu Chesson is a special teams guy and very good at it, by the way, and not a receiver at this point. Why the hell didn't you promote Simi Cobbs before he had a choice, for God's sakes? Why didn't you do this? Don't wait until somebody else sniffs around and realizes, this guy, what do you think? These teams are all desperate for help at this point. Sure, maybe you could have thought, well, you know, the chances of him getting claimed and promoted to a 53 is probably 10 or 15% or 20% or whatever it might be. But there's 31 other teams. I don't think the chance that a developmental wide receiver with good size, especially when you know, again, the Saints and other teams are looking for healthy wide receivers, might take a roll of the dice and a chance. And especially when you know you're thin and unproductive, the guys that you potentially could have. Again, we don't know about Josh Doxson playing this Sunday. It's looking favorable now because he did practice to some degree today. But he's in the concussion protocol, and that is a complete mystery. That is a complete unknown, whether he'll be cleared, whether he'll have a setback. Again, he's got to get cleared, number one, even though he did work. That's a good sign. But he's still got to get final clearance, and he could still have a setback. I remember in Jordan Reed's rookie year, Jordan Reed had a concussion, one of many, and he would be fine all week long, showing no symptoms. Be good, be good, be good. Coaches would game plan for him. Coaches would count on him. And then he'd wake up Sunday morning or Saturday night, and Jordan Reed would have massive headaches or something would be wrong. And the Redskins coaches were upset because they couldn't count on him in such a big part of the game plan, something that they designed around one of their few weapons was gone. And I'm not saying that Josh Doxson is Jordan Reed, obviously, but Josh Doxson has been a pretty big part of what the limited stuff that the Redskins have been able to do this year. The limited stuff and production the Redskins have gotten out of their receiver position. If it's even a question, which it clearly was earlier in the week, it clearly was a question that Josh Doxson was, again, iffy, questionable, maybe doubtful, depending on the situation and his recovery, knowing that it's a very gray area, the concussion protocol, and symptoms can pop up out of nowhere that are, you know, hard to monitor and may take place again after he gets final clearance, Sunday morning, Sunday during pregame, whatever. Why wouldn't you have insurance? Why wouldn't you think, hey, you know what? We've got this developmental kid who's 6'3" and 210 pounds or whatever he is. We might want to promote him because we do have this ability on the roster. You know, we could put Jordan Reed on IR. We could put Colt McCoy on IR. We could cut Michael Floyd. We could do a number of different things. And the Redskins did none of it. None of it. Now, maybe they get Doxson back, as we mentioned, and that's great. And maybe, just maybe, Simi Cobbs wouldn't have played. I'm not saying that Simi Cobbs is going to go and light it up, but he chose New Orleans over a 53-man spot on the Redskins because he's no dummy. He used common sense, the opposite of what the Redskins normally use. Simi Cobbs used common sense and said, whoa, wait a second. I can go play with Drew Brees or I can play with Josh Johnson and maybe not even be active. What would you do? But the point is, if the Redskins were proactive, if the Redskins were thinking ahead, this wouldn't have even happened. They wouldn't have lost a developmental prospect because it only became a thing once he had a decision to make. If they would have promoted him on Tuesday or Wednesday, there wouldn't have been a decision to make. He would have been promoted to the 53, and there would have been no issue. Then New Orleans couldn't claim him. You see where I'm getting at? That kind of drove me crazy today. Couple more things real quickly on the Redskins and the Jaguars. Kai Forbath may kick for the Jaguars. Their place kicker is banged up. Niles Paul, former Redskins tight end, cut today. So he's not even going to play against his former team. Not that that's a huge loss for Jacksonville, but was signed to a two-year deal. I missed this, but Barry Church also got cut. JT the Vic said, so that's another transaction for the Jaguars, whatever. Ryan Anderson out, Jordan Reed out, Tony Bergstrom out. Again, Sundberg, we mentioned, so they might have a new long snapper. We'll see about Doxson and Josh Johnson starts for the Redskins on Sunday in Jacksonville. So that's the rundown there. We'll get to the Caps and the Hurricanes coming up as well, the Nets. And the Wizards also going on in Brooklyn as the Wizards try and salvage a win here after a heartbreaker on Wednesday night at Capital One Arena in overtime to the Boston Celtics. Plus, there's a team that's getting a lot of headlines and a lot of buzz and a lot of credit, and they rightfully deserve it. But they are so the opposite of the Washington Redskins. We'll explain what we mean by that next. Along with you at 800-636-1067, this is Overtime on the Fan. All right, we welcome you back. It is Overtime right here. Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan with you until 7:15. Carolina Hurricanes hosting the Stanley Cup champion Washington Capitals, looking for win number 4 in a row. John Walton will be on the call along with Ken Zabrin, Ben Raby. Starting at 7:15, they'll take you home on this rainy Friday night in the nation's capital and beyond. Also, you can listen to our show, The Game, and 106.7 The Fan anytime, anywhere on the radio.com app and radio.com on your web browser. Good to have you aboard with us, along with JT the Vic, 800-636-1067. I'm merely the rooster, Chris Russell, 800-636-1067. So we open up with the Simi Cobbs situation, which if you would have paid me $1 million, I would have never told you that I would start and lead off a show with Simi Cobbs. But this is just a microcosm of where the Redskins are. This type of situation, this type of roster bungling, mismanagement, in my opinion, it's a mismanagement. Again, it's not because he chose the Saints over the Redskins. Duh. No bleep, Sherlock. Who wouldn't? Of course you would. Why wouldn't you? The point of the matter is, if the Redskins would have been proactive instead of reactive, they would have not lost this kid. If they would have signed him on Tuesday or Wednesday, they wouldn't have lost this kid. There wouldn't have been a decision to be had.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
That's the point. And this has been a quarterback thing, a left guard thing, a wide receiver thing, a defensive line thing. This has been a problem all year long. The mismanagement of this roster, quite honestly, it is horrifying. It's mystifying. It's really bad. And you can think I'm being negative all you want. You can think I'm vindictive, bitter, whatever you want to think. Or you could probably not give a bleep, because many of you don't. But the point of the matter is, yes, there are sometimes things are out of your control. The Alex Smith injury and infection, I believe, out of the Redskins' control. Bad break, really long, bad long-term ramifications, but that's out of their control. The only thing the Redskins could have done there was not sign Alex Smith to the contract extension that they did, but they were so hell-bent on not living year to year, not being held hostage, even though it was their fault to begin with, and never-ending their fault, with the Kirk Cousins situation, that they would have signed Santa Claus to a long-term deal, as long as it wasn't Kirk Cousins, and as long as it was somebody that could play the quarterback position. Again, if Santa Claus could have played the quarterback position, they would have signed him to a long-term deal at mega money, because the Redskins were hell-bent on trying to reverse the acrimony and the acid, if you will, left over from the Kirk Cousins situation. But the bottom line is they've screwed up the left guard situation. They've screwed up defensive line depth all year. Remember, letting Ziggy Hood go, Terrell McClain go, dead money up the wazoo, not having any rotational help besides a young Tim Settle, and Stacy McGee, who stinks, not available until midway through the season. And those guys are worn down, tired. You know, Allen and Payne were popping and sizzling early on Sunday. They weren't anywhere to be found as the game wore on. That's the point. So we could talk about left guard, quarterback. We could talk about wide receiver. We could talk about defensive line depth. We could talk about, you know, safety they tried to address. I can't blame them there. They tried to be proactive there. Cornerback, same thing. Quentin Dunbar's not okay. All right, so now you're having to play with Greg Stroman and Danny Johnson matching up against elite receivers because you let Orlando Scandrick go and because you didn't sign a veteran replacement for him because you thought, oh, our young guys will be fine. Our young guys will be good. Now, listen, again, I understand not every decision you make at the time is going to work out the way you intended it to do, but this is the problem. When you don't think beyond just a narrow prism, and the Redskins rarely do, you don't think about things and alternatives and options and problems and downside. When you don't think beyond just what's right in front of you, when you only have tunnel vision, as the Redskins and many Americans, by the way, seem to have, you basically impulse buy or you impulse make decisions. We'll be fine. We'll be fine. Sean LaFleur's not going to get injured. I mean, come on. Please, give me a break. And I'm not saying that I would have all the answers or I would be able to solve all the problems, but I damn well sure betcha that you, me, and, 5,000 of our friends would be able to solve some of these problems that the Redskins keep having, quite honestly, keep having. All right, I went a little bit long on the Redskins. When we return for the top of the hour, and again, we just have a short show tonight until 7:15, we'll get a little Caps-Canes preview in before we exit stage left as well. The team that's getting all the buzz that is just the opposite of the Washington Redskins, and it's not just in the win-loss column. I'll explain next, right here, Overtime on Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. With you just for another 5 or 6 more minutes, Caps, Gabs Hog, right, JT the Vic, Tom Silson making his return to the line. Not top line Tommy, no, that's top line TJ. And he deserves that. It's instead Tom Wilson on the second line tonight, eh? In Carolina against the Hurricanes as the Stanley Cup champs look for, again, win number 4 in a row. So Ovechkin, Backstrom, and Oshie staying together as the top line. Varana, Kuznetsov, and Wilson will be the second line. Interestingly enough, and I got to give credit to my guy, Ed Frankovic. He predicted this the other night. Chandler Stevenson's been struggling, and I kind of noticed that a little bit, but I've been so caught up with the Redskins, I hadn't had as much time to pay it. Boy, he was so good for them in the playoffs last year. He's been really struggling. I think he's like -4, I want to say. Something like that, maybe a little bit more than that. I could be off on some of those numbers. But the bottom line is him and Burakovsky. Burakovsky, for a second game in a row, are scratched tonight. Christian Juice had thigh surgery, so he's going to miss at least the next couple of weeks. Timetable for a return unknown. And that means that Juice and Brooks Orpik, who's still out and who's been on long-term injured reserve and has missed most of the year, don't know when he's going to come back, probably not until after the new year, but we're not sure. That means that entire third pair that was so key for the Capitals basically from game 2 of the Columbus series on and stayed together that entire time, it was so clutch for them, is out. So even when they get Wilson back, even though they got TJ Oshie back the other night, they still lose another key guy. Braden Holtby in net tonight against the Carolina Hurricanes, who, you know, look, they have this goofy, wacky celebration at the end of games. If they win, hopefully the Capitals won't have to see that. But I'm sure Twitter will be all a buzz tonight if the Canes are to win. Capitals fans will be annoyed by that. But they're 13-13-4, 30 points. They have a minus 11 goal differential. They've lost two in a row. They're 4-5-1 in their last 10. This is certainly a game that the Washington Capitals absolutely can win at 18-9 and 339 points atop the Metro by 3 points over struggling Columbus with a game in hand over the Blue Jackets. All right, let's get to it. Just another couple of moments here on the Fan. I wanted to mention this. You know, the Los Angeles Chargers set the NFL world kind of a buzz last night, right? And for good reason, with their comeback win, going for two, final play of the game, Anthony Lynn, guts, onion stones, whatever you want to call it, did a tremendous job, right? Phillip Rivers, we know, is just an absolute stud. I mean, while everybody has celebrated Ben Roethlisberger and Eli Manning over their career, everybody kind of forgets about Phil Rivers. And I know he doesn't have the Super Bowls, and that's why everybody forgets about him. But he's been with a lousy franchise, you know, for the most part. They were good, San Diego, now Los Angeles, for a while. Remember, like when A.J. Smith was their general manager, they won 5 division titles, I think, in 8 years. Now they would always fan out in the playoffs. Got it. But they won, I think it was 98 games over his 10 years as their general manager. You know, I mean, the Redskins would kill for that. Kill for that. Hell, they'd kill for more than, you know, one playoff appearance in a row. But the Los Angeles Chargers, who again moved to L.A. last year, nobody wanted them. Even L.A. didn't want them. Nobody would build them a new stadium in San Diego. Their fan base quit on them. Nobody travels up there. There's 22,000, maybe, people in that soccer stadium. Most of them are for the road team. It is really bad. They have no home field advantage at all. As you heard Matt Money Smith with Dukes earlier on Chad Dukes versus the World, like these players are much more comfortable on the road. I'll give you another thing. The mental toughness and tenacity of the Los Angeles Chargers is out of this world. It's off the charts. Could you imagine if the Redskins had 1/10 of the mental toughness and tenacity that the Los Angeles Chargers had? They're, again, no home field advantage. A quarterback travels, 90 miles each way to work, back and forth. Yes, he's got a cool van. Yes, he can watch film, all that stuff. He's got 18,000 kids. They're missing Keenan Allen for most of the game last night. No Corey Lugett, one of their best defensive tackles. No Jason Verrett all year, one of their best corners. No Denzel Perryman, their best linebacker. No Melvin Gordon the last 3 games. They got on the road, beat Pittsburgh and now Kansas City, sandwiched in around a home win against Cincinnati. I mean, could you imagine, never mind the Redskins having, again, the mental toughness and tenacity that the Los Angeles Chargers have, to be able to overcome, if they had 1/10 of it. 1/10. Instead, they sit here. Oh, no Hunter Henry, who may be coming back. I didn't even think he was possible to come back, but that's what Money Smith said to Chad. Maybe for the playoffs? I don't know. Could you imagine that? It's absurd what the Los Angeles Chargers have done this year. Absolutely absurd. I don't know if they play ping pong. They probably don't. That's reserved for teams like the Redskins. What this team has overcome is unbelievable. It's a great, great story. I'm rooting for them, and they are everything that the Redskins should strive to be and aren't. All right, that's going to do it for our short show tonight. Enjoy the Caps and the Canes coming up. John Walton standing by, Ben Raby, Ken Zabrin as well. Thanks to JT the Vic. Thanks to you for listening. Adios.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.